The scripture reading this afternoon is from John chapter 8, and we continue on reading at verse 30 through verse 47. John 8, verse 30 through verse 47. As the Lord Jesus spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one father, God." And Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." So far the reading of God's word. The text for the sermon is verse 31. Verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." Beloved congregation, it's not so very difficult to start something. But to finish it is often much more difficult. You can start, for instance, some of us younger ones may do that. Maybe you start on a marathon race, running several miles. Well, starting that is not so very difficult. But to continue on, that's difficult. And to reach the finish, that's even more difficult. You can start off a field of studies, but to finish it takes endurance. You see, it's not those who begin who receive the praise, but those who continue on in their studies, who pass their exams and graduate, they receive the praise. And so you can start off on a marriage, and you can tell each other that you love each other. Well, that's a good thing. But it's only one thing, to continue on in marriage, for better and for worse. and to love one another, that his love will increase. That's far better. So in many aspects of life, we need to start something, but then also to finish it. And that counts also in the realm of faith. It's not so very difficult to come to the front of the church and attend the Lord's Supper. And you can say that you belong to the Lord Jesus and you believe in him. Many people say that. But to continue in faith and to be faithful to the Lord, and that to the very end, that is something else. And that's what we actually read in our text this afternoon from John 8:31. Then said Jesus to these Jews who believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. So we see here persevering in faith. And we consider confessed faith, continued faith, and confirmed faith. So the Lord Jesus is speaking here to these unbelieving Jews, among whom were scribes and Pharisees. They were against the Lord Jesus. They were angry with him, antagonistic. And with much patience, the Lord Jesus instructs them, explaining them who he is, where he comes from, and with what authority he speaks. He's from God the Father. He refers to the signs he did. And so as the Lord Jesus has been speaking, he has convinced quite a few of those Jews. And they actually believe in him. Well, isn't that wonderful? They believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 30, as the Lord Jesus spake these words, many believed on him. Well, that is wonderful. But you have to be careful, because we read more often in Scripture of people who believed in the Lord Jesus, but it was not true faith. We read in other portions of the Gospel that people believed. They had a mental understanding to some extent to who the Lord Jesus was, and they were convinced by his words. With their minds they understood and agreed that he had spoken the truth. You find an example of that, of people who believed, but it was not true faith. For instance, in John 2 verse 23, when the Lord Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them, because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. These were people who outwardly believed in the Lord Jesus, but the Lord Jesus did not give himself to them, because he knew who they really were and how they were. It was not true faith. Another example you find, for instance, in John 12, verse 42. Among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. This was also not true saving faith, because they did not want to confess Jesus. But in their hearts, they knew that he was speaking the truth. But there was no surrender. There was no true faith. And again, here in our text, If you look at the text before that, verse 30, where many, as they heard his words, believed on Christ. But was that true faith or not? Therefore, you have to look at what follows after verse 30. And we see then that the Lord Jesus responds by saying that they should continue in his word, and that then they would truly be his disciples, and that God's word would set them free. And they don't understand it. Set free? We've never been in slavery. We are not in bondage. Why do we need to be set free? From what? And the Lord Jesus says that they need to be set free from sin. And the Lord Jesus also clearly tells them that he knows that they still are plotting to kill him. So we find here that it's not true faith, but it is then a mental agreeing that Jesus is speaking the truth. But it's not true saving faith. And people who do not really believe, they are estranged from Christ. They don't realize the beauty of Christ. They don't realize the sweetness of Christ. They're not impressed by the goodness of Christ. It doesn't bring them low. It doesn't bring them on their knees that they so say, Lord, I am vile, but thou art good. Oh, make me as thou dost want me to be. Such people who do not really believe, who may have a mental understanding of the truth, they need to be taught true wisdom. They need to bow for the full authority of Christ. And they must realize the truth of the Lord Jesus, that the death of Christ should mortify their lusts, and the resurrection of Christ should lead them to a new life, and that the holiness of Christ would be an incentive to imitate Christ, and that the all-sufficiency of Christ should be something they are content with, whatever happens in life. That's how the Lord leads people now in that life of true faith. But people who do not have true faith, they do not understand these matters. These were the people of whom we read back in verse 21. It says there, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and you shall die in your sins. So the Lord Jesus is speaking to the same people. You're going to seek me, but you will not find me. You will die in your sins. You know, we often speak about those who seek, they shall find. And that's true. There are many encouragements in God's word. But here we read in verse 21, people who are seeking Christ, that they will still perish. And what does that refer to? Well, especially the last day when the Lord Jesus shall return, then there will be many who will seek to enter in, the Lord Jesus says somewhere else, but they shall not be able to enter in because it's too late, because judgment day has come. And when that day will come, everyone will want to belong to Jesus Christ, but it will be too late. They will try to enter in, but will not be able. They will seek, but they will die in their sins. And so it can be that a man may have certain religious feelings about Christ. Maybe there's someone here in church who has certain religious sentiments about the Lord Jesus, but has no true saving faith. There can be certain circumstances in life. that can lead a person to become religious, afflictions or calamities or certain guidance in life. And such a person can pray a lot, but it's possible that his heart is not touched at all. When the heart is touched, there will be submission. There will be surrender. Then it's not about me and my deliverance, but it's about the Lord and His honor to be set up in my life. That's true faith. But there are people, due to circumstances, they have some religious impressions and they pray a lot. And at the same time, they can be resisting light. And it can be that they persevere in that, and then the Lord gives them up to their own sins that they do not want to give up. They can be quenching the light of the conscience. They can persevere in sins. And then I said a few weeks ago, you can cross an invisible line in life. A line that cars can cross over, but you can't come back. Because they're all metal sticks springing up. And that can be in life too. That you have certain impressions, certain truths, but in your heart, in your mind. But you persevere in sins and you refuse to give up. And the Lord can give you up. And then it can be that a person seeks, but the Lord will not listen to him anymore. Some pastors can come across that. I believe I had it once or twice that you visit an older person ready to die and he cannot pray. He cannot put his hands together and start praying. I think that's extreme, but I did see it once. But the time of grace has lapsed. It's gone. You read that also in Scripture. In Proverbs 1, verse 28 and 29, where the Lord says, "Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." And therefore, in life, what must we do? We must choose the fear of the Lord. We must be focused upon the Lord, that He would set up His image in our lives, and that He would be everything to us, that there would be true faith in our life. And that leads us then to continued faith. There can be confessed faith, but the issue is continued faith. For the Lord says here, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." Actually, the Lord Jesus is here encouraging them. He's not rebuking them. So the Lord Jesus is not criticizing them. He's not saying, "You don't have true faith, and you don't mean what you're saying. And I know who you are, I know what's in your heart." That's not how the Lord Jesus approaches them. He is encouraging them to continue in His word. They confessed by whatever way that they had faith. They realized the Lord Jesus is the truth. And the Lord Jesus is not criticizing them, not rebuking them, but He's encouraging them not just to start, but to continue on in this life of faith. And so the Lord Jesus gives here a beautiful example for us. Because you can be faced with people who confess faith in the Lord Jesus. A young person maybe who confesses that. And we can have our doubts. But then you shouldn't say, "Well, I don't think it's true what you're saying." And neither should we say, oh, it's wonderful that you say that. Now you're a child of God. No, you don't do that either. What you do is you encourage them. You lead them further. And hoping and praying that what they confess is indeed true. And you hope that the Lord will lead them further. You don't criticize them. But you instruct them, show them the way they need to go. And that's what the Lord is doing here. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. So the Lord is saying it's not enough to have a mental acceptance that Jesus is Messiah. They must surrender to the Lord Jesus as their personal deliverer to the devil and from bondage to the devil and to sin. The Lord Jesus is asking their heart. Perseverance is needed. Perseverance in the service of the Lord. And actually this perseverance that comes from God Himself. It's not that the Lord expects you to be able to persevere in your own strength. No, it's the Lord who enables people to persevere. And who are those people who are enabled to persevere? They are the ones who have learned to surrender their lives unto Him. Who need the fullness of the Lord Jesus for every aspect of their life. So that they not only with their mind confess the Lord Jesus, but that they truly desire to follow Him. Some people can act under the influence of temporary convictions. And so the Lord Jesus is exhorting them to persevere. And how do you persevere? By continuing in His Word. And that means, frankly, that we live with His Word. Then you read and you study God's Word personally for yourself, that every day you need to eat and to drink. Every day you need to take rest at night. And every day we need the Word of God to enter our minds, hearts, and lives. We need to continue in His Word personally. When you're alone reading Scripture, you will read it more intensely than at the supper table. And then you will also reflect upon that word and stay upon it. And it's not that you're listening then to what other people tell you, or what other believers, if they are true or not true believers, what they are telling you. No, then you're listening to what the Lord says to you. And you and I, we need to be brought in a meeting with the Lord Jesus. And that throughout our lives. What's the work of the ministry about? What's a minister doing? A minister can't convert one soul. But what does a minister long for? That those who hear him would be ushered into a personal meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. And He knows exactly who you are and where you are and what you need and how you need it, everything. And He will do it. If needs be, He will give you honey out of the rock instead of water from the rock. Psalm 106, 105. He will do that. And that's what we need. Because we can't give each other faith or perseverance, but the Lord can. And so the work of preaching and ministry and pastoral work is ushering people that they would meet the Lord Jesus. And then the minister can drop and fade away. That's the whole point. That's why we're in church. that you would meet the living Christ personally, and that you continue in His Word. For that Word will convict you. It will correct you. It will lead you. It will teach you. You will be led into all truth. Your lives will be directed. You will have a personal experience of the love and blessedness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you are now in the time of grace and you are secluding yourself from others, and you are taking the time to personally read God's Word, to seek a meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're pouring out your heart unto Him, then it is impossible that you will not meet Him. And then the fullness of Christ will start shining in your heart. Not that you fully understand or know the Lord Jesus, but something of the fullness of His light shines in you. And you see something of your own vileness. You realize the vanity and the emptiness of life without Christ. And you loathe a life without Christ. It's vanity. Just like Jacob, he saw the vanity of serving Uncle Laban. Uncle Laban had changed his wages numerous times. It was vanity. In Jeremiah 14, you read of nobles who are coming to the water pits to find water. But there was nothing there. It was dry. It was all vanity. And that's how you feel about the things of this life when the Lord Jesus enters your existence. And that's what we need. That's continuing in His Word. And continuing in His Word, the beauties of Christ will be unfolded to you. That doesn't happen in one day. You need a life long for that. And so you learn more and more to esteem Christ and to love Christ. He becomes altogether lovely. And you find comfort in abiding in His Word. And so you will truly be His disciple. Now, after you have attended the Lord's Supper, some people may have the idea that therefore all is well with them. But the Lord Jesus says to you who are at the supper, if ye continue in My Word, then you are My disciples indeed. And so we can just ask the question, what role does God's Word play in your life? Does His Word read your life? And does His Word uncover you to your weaknesses, to your sins, to your errors and foolishness? And does the fullness and the righteousness and the wisdom and the guidance of Christ, is that opened up to you? And that you learn to commune with Him? Abiding in God's Word. And that means then also, practically, you understand that how we live, how we deal with one another, how we do business, God's Word tells us and teaches His people, leads them to be humble and lowly of heart. It's not that God's Word tells you to be humble and now you have to try to make yourself humble. That's not how it works. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. By being exposed to the Lord Jesus, He teaches you. He leads you. Takes you by the hand on the path of humility. You learn to esteem the other above yourself. You become patient. Before that you were may be very impatient. But the Lord leads you. He teaches you. And in His Word you find answers to questions you may have. His Word is a light upon your path. How can a young person direct his way? Only by God's Word. And that's why catechism students, I've been telling you that for the last 2 years, that the whole idea is that you personally are acquainted with God and His Word, that you learn to read it carefully for yourself, and then you will learn to continue in His Word. And that faith that will continue, that faith that grows, that faith that rests on His Word, that will continue on till the day of your death. And then faith is left behind, because then a child of God is translated into sight. Faith is looking at that which you cannot see. But the moment of death, when the Lord translates then His child into glory, then they see the beauties of Christ as never before. And then there's no need of faith. There's no need to continue in faith, because then faith is no longer needed. They will see the King in His beauty. So that is continued faith. But then we also see confirmed faith. The Lord Jesus said we should continue in His Word. And then it says, if you continue My Word, then are ye My disciples indeed. Then it will be very clear that you are indeed My disciples. To continue in that faith, it is to be have a confirmed faith. It's clear to yourself and to others that you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus as you live in God's Word and God's Word lives in you. You are at home in His Word. You delight in His Word. You have rest by reading His Word like you are at home. At home, I hope and I trust you are at rest. That's where you feel at home, because it's home. That's the center of your life. That's where you have a refuge. That's where you converse with your loved ones. Well, when you continue in God's Word, you converse with the Lord. Then you are at home with the Lord in His Word. And His Word guides you and leads you. And so there's a whole gamut of applications in daily life. What God's Word will do in your life, teaching you to live according to His will. And so there are many practical examples. Well, let's mention some of those practical examples. His Word teaches and guides you also in our matters of how we date one another. The world tells us that we should have sexual intercourse before marriage and also outside of marriage, because the world tells us you should do what you both like to do. It's about you and what you think and what you find and your opinion. That's what the world tells us. You should express yourself. But this is contradicting God's Word. When you continue in God's Word, you don't listen to what the world tells you, but you listen to what God's Word says. Because God created this sexual intimacy between one man and one woman, and that within the confines of marriage, to protect that tender bond. And that's why we are to listen to what the Lord tells us. We can transgress God's commandments, but then you will always plunge yourself into misery. How many young couples are there not who regret what they did in the past? Marriages can break down because of things that went wrong in the past because they did not continue in God's word. How many unhappy people are there with broken lives? But how blessed it is to have a lasting, faithful, loving bond of marriage, which in which the love to one another increases. You see, the gift of sexuality is most powerful and potent. And the Lord wants to curb that and to protect that within the confines of marriage. He created sexuality, and He created that for the purpose that a young man and a young woman in their marriage would be sealed together and be one. It's God's blessed gift. And that's an example of how we continue in His word in daily practice. And there are many more examples how to continue in God's word. Now, we live in an age in which there are many, many, many movies around. And they are all accessible on your computer. Movies in which violence is portrayed, in which God's name is taken in vain, in which all kinds of sins are displayed for entertainment. Well, if you wish to continue in the Word of God, then you cannot watch much of what Netflix offers you. That's practically continuing in the Word of God. And in daily life, when you work for someone, the Lord wants you to be diligent in the work you are called to do. And you are to honor your masters, if we call them that, your employers. We must honor them who are placed above you. We may not steal from them by loafing around instead of doing your work. We may not slacken our work. It's our Christian duty, because we continue in His word, to be dedicated to the people we work for. And another example that is rampant in our society is the criticism of God's word. A man thinks that he can sit on a throne and that he can judge the word of God. That's not true, that can't be, and we'll accept that maybe. But sorry, it's the other way around. God's word is on the throne, and God's word judges our lives. And the whole word of God is the truth. And if you continue in His word, showing you are His disciples, you will bow for the full authority of God's word. Then when you open the Bible, you may tell yourself, this is not the opinion of Paul. This is not the opinion of Matthew or of David. This is the inspired word of God coming to me through the Apostle Paul and through Matthew and through David and so on. It's the word of God that comes to us, and we are to abide and continue in that word. And that's a blessed life. It's a life in which you learn every day something new again. You can even say, it's a bit of a worldly expression, but it's exciting. Because you learn something new. And you'll get to know the Lord. And you know that He knows you. And He knows where you live. And He's able to comfort you. And to strengthen you. And to be with you. In difficulties that we all, in one shape or form, we will all face that. And then you are His possession. And then, it's a thought we may find too amazing, too deep, but that He loves you. That He delights in you. You with all your failures, you with all your sins and your shortcomings and your struggles. You who lose battles and continually come back to the Lord begging Him for mercy and grace. And you're on your knees asking Him for His nearness in your life. You're struggling the Christian faith. And you desire to have your life surrendered to Him. And although there are so many shortcomings, He loves you. He delights in you. He loved you already from before the foundation of the world. And it's an unchangeable love. In spite of who you are then truly His disciple. Because your life is laid down as a sacrifice at the feet of Christ. And you need Him. And therefore you do not want to grieve Him. You don't want to go along with certain sins. You become tender-hearted. And when there are certain sins that come in, you resist them. You don't want to grieve God. But it can be different. It can be different. It can be that you have the name that you live, but that you are dead. That you don't even belong to Him. You come to church. You may be even at the Lord's Supper. But you're keeping Him outside of your life. Your religion is only very formal. It's the list of do's and don'ts, and that's it. But your heart is just like the heart of others in the world. And you're outside of Christ. And you do not know Him. Then you're like these Jews who believed in Him, but they were not continuing in His word. They wanted even to kill Him. And if you feel that you have been keeping the Lord outside of your life, it's time for a change, isn't it? And He is still willing to receive runaway sons and daughters. And then what happens is that when God's word does enter your heart, and when you do continue in His word, and when it shows that you really are a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus, that's your prayer, your desire throughout life, then something happens. And that's what we find in the next text, the next verse. That is that you will be set free. You will be set free, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's the freedom of a child of God. Freedom. You know the truth. We live in a day and age in which people wonder, what can you believe? There are conspiracy theories floating around. People get upset. People get afraid. And they're always talking about the bad thing that's happening, and they get frantic and they can't do anything about it. So their panic only increases. I met someone like that the other day, not from our church. It's so sad. They have no peace. They're in bondage. But God's word sets you free, and you know the truth. And what is the truth? But the Lord Jesus is the truth, and he exposes who I am, and he renews me and makes me like I have to be. And he tells me the truth. He tells me that the days of Sodom and Gomorrah are going to come back here in this world, here in Ontario and in Holland and in China and everywhere. That the days, as it were, before the flood are going to return. We know the truth. And we know that the Lord Jesus gives grace to continue in his truth, that in the world you will suffer oppression, but fear not, our tribulation, but I am with you. All the days, every day again. The Lord will care for his own. That's the truth. And when you leave this life, you will be with him. That's the truth. And that truth sets you free. Who cares what they all do and imagine? If I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, he is mine and I am his, then I am free. I am set at liberty. That's his work in my life. I can't set myself free. The Lord does it because I know, Lord, I am thine and thou art mine. And then you're free. Free to do what he calls you to do. William Hendrickson has beautiful commentaries on the New Testament. And then he writes in his commentary on John a statement that I'll read twice. He says, you are free not when you can do what you wish to do, but you are free when you wish to do and can do what you should do. So again, you are free not when you can do what you wish to do, but you are free when you wish to do and can do what you should do. That's freedom. Then you are set free from the demands of the law because the Lord Jesus has fulfilled those demands. And you are set free from your inability to live according to God's will because the Lord leads you in a new life and teaches you to do what you should be doing. And you are set at liberty. You're free from the law, his accusations. You're free from your own carnal desires. When the Lord enters your life, he sets you free. Maybe you're struggling with pornography, something we never talk about, something that's very, very private, but can also be very, very dangerous, and it's very tempting. But when the truth sets you free, when the Lord Jesus sets you free, when this truth enters your life and heart, you will be set free from gross sins. They will no longer rule over you. And you realize that pornography is poison. And you will take certain rules in life to counter it. And you will ask God for grace to abide by those rules that you set in place for your own life. And you struggle against it. With the power of God. And the truth will set you free. His truth will set you free from the guilt of sin because of the blood of Christ. Then such people, they are justified. They are pardoned. They can look forward to the day of judgment and say, who shall lay anything to our charge? They are renewed, they are converted, they are sanctified, they are no longer kept captive by their lusts. They belong to their heavenly master. He leads me. He guides me. I am his, and I long to know him more and more, and to love him more and more. The Lord Jesus lives in me, and I live in him, and his love sets me free. I am free from man. And whether I die or whether I live, I am the Lord's. And therefore, whom have I, Lord, but thee on high? None else on earth can satisfy. Amen. Most gracious and holy Lord, we thank thee for thy saving grace, that thou dost set sinners at liberty, that thou dost make them free, for thou dost lead them not only to know thy word and to confess thy word and to continue in it, but that they will be confirmed because they are led in a life with thee in true faith, and that they are set free. We thank thee, Lord, and we praise thy name for this precious gospel, that thou, Lord Jesus, art a full and perfect Savior, and that we need to know thee personally. O Lord, wilt thou be the after preacher of these words thy servant has spoken in simplicity, but thou canst make these words powerful. Wilt thou give spiritual life and regeneration through the power of thy word, as thy word is the seed of regeneration? Wilt thou touch hearts, renew them? Wilt thou lead thy people to continue in thy word, that we may have in our homes, in our rooms, a personal meeting with Jesus Christ? Then we will be blessed. Then we will be set free. Then we will say, whom have I in heaven but thee? There's none who can satisfy me but only thee. Lord, wilt thou guide and lead us in the coming week? Protect thy servant as he will do some work in other countries. Wilt thou give protection and guidance? Wilt thou, Lord, remember each one of us. Remember also, we pray thee, that awful war that's going on in Ukraine, where daily people are killed. And wilt thou give, Lord, thy grace and thy mercy? And wilt thou give that peace may be established and that deliverance may be given? Wilt thou so hear our prayers and watch over the congregation, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.